Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadeen. Today is Thursday, April 18th. Coming up, we'll bring you two stories about the struggles that local newspapers face in an increasingly dire news industry. First, we'll visit a Southwest Kansas printing press, helping keep local news alive in four states.
Every community has to have a grocery store. They have to have schools. There are certain fundamental things that make a town. One of those, in my view, is a newspaper.
Plus, we'll hear how some rural papers in the Midwest and South are trying new business models to survive.
In rural areas, the problem is one of scale. Are there enough paying customers in a smaller rural community to be able to support journalism in that area?
But first, some headlines. People in a local neighborhood waited on hold with 911 for up to 10 minutes while they watched a crime unfold on their block. KCUR's Sam Zeff reports.
On a Sunday evening almost 2 weeks ago, neighbors in South Hyde Park noticed two people in two stolen cars, one of them wearing a ski mask. Two people called Kansas City Police while Diane Constantine went outside to take pictures. She says her neighbors were on hold for 8 to 10 minutes, and nobody at 911 ever answered.
There were two people trying to do the right thing and contact the police, and neither of them could get into anybody.
The people eventually fled, and KCPD says it later arrested two juveniles.
The Missouri legislature has approved more than $2 million to cover Governor Mike Parson's order sending state troops to patrol the Texas-Mexico border. Sarah Kellogg reports it's the first bill lawmakers have passed this year.
Members of the National Guard and Highway Patrol have been at the Texas-Mexico border since March. According to Senator Lincoln Huff, that consists of 250 members of the National Guard and 22 state Highway Patrol officers. Parson issued his executive order sending troops to the border in February. The order is set to expire after June 13th, though it could be extended.
Kansas City faces a huge drop-off in new home construction this year. KCUR's Frank Morris reports on why.
Kansas City averaged 85 new home building permits a month over the last 4 years. The first 3 months of this year, that average plunged to fewer than 4 a month. Will Reuter, Executive Vice President of the Home Builders Association of Greater Kansas City, mostly blames a complex new building efficiency code that Kansas City imposed 6 months ago. He says the new code makes it hard to standardize building practices.
It's almost as if every home in Kansas City, Missouri, will be a custom home,
which is a lot less efficient and more costly than replicating one approved home design. Reuter says the Home Builders Association wants the city to adopt a simpler efficiency standard.
We'll be back after this.
You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
As newspapers around the country close and consolidate, rural Kansas towns are fighting to keep their local papers in print. Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports one Southwest Kansas printing press has become a lifeline for local media.
In the rural Southwest Kansas town of Liberal, an unassuming warehouse contains something increasingly rare for a sparsely populated area, a printing press churning out thousands of newspapers. What used to be a community staple is now almost obsolete. But here in Liberal, they're printing nearly 20 weekly papers for small towns across four states, plus their own newspaper, The Leader and Times. Workers change out the metal plates used to print images for these surrounding communities. It's helping keep those other community papers alive and slowing the growth of news deserts where people can't find local news. Earl Watt, owner of the paper, says local newspapers are a community staple.
Every community has to have a grocery store. They have to have schools. There are certain fundamental things that make a town. One of those, in my view, is a newspaper.
Watt has been in the business for over 30 years. He has established a symbiotic relationship with the surrounding papers desperately trying to stay open. Printing newspapers in the region keeps not only those papers alive, but sustains his own paper and justifies printing locally at a time when many large city papers have closed their presses.
Having their local newspaper keeps the community pride high. It keeps the community engaged and informed.
Over half of Kansas counties have either just one newspaper or none at all, according to a study by the Center for Innovation and Sustainability in Local Media. Having a press nearby keeps newspapers like the Huguenot and Hermes 30 miles down the road in print for cheaper than sending their paper off for print farther away. Roglinda Coulter, co-owner of the Hermes, says not many news outlets would care about some of the stories they run, but the Hermes gladly puts their community members on the front page, like the triumphs of local middle school sports or a couple celebrating 76 years of marriage.
I've lived here all my life, and one of my other partners has too, and we read the Hermes when we were little kids, and I would hate to see it go away.
Coulter and two other women bought their town's paper in 2007 after working there for over 10 years. But it hasn't been easy. They struggled keeping up with finances, staffing, and even sexism. So what's the point of going through all that trouble for a newspaper in a town of a few thousand?
They cover the city council meetings, and they cover how tax dollars are being spent while also informing the community about how they're being spent.
That's Emily Bradbury, executive director for the Kansas Press Association. She says newspapers also play a critical role in local politics. A study from the journal Urban Affairs Review showed in towns without a newspaper, fewer people ran for mayor and also fewer voters turned out for local and national elections. But trust in the media is already at a historic low. Bradbury says local media can really be the key to restoring trust in journalism among rural communities.
They see it as a huge difference between their local paper and their local journalists versus, quote unquote, the mainstream media.
These papers not only aid in informing their communities, but they contain a lot of history. For history buff Lydia Gray and Liberal, these newspapers were not just scrap, but instead a historical treasure that sometimes reveal colorful Western stories that aren't documented anywhere else. Like old conflicts between early settlements that have turned into ghost towns.
And they actually shot a sheriff, and yeah, it was a mess.
Gray wrote a book on the history of Seward County, where Liberal's printing press resides. Old newspapers were sometimes the only documents available to piece together the history of Southwest Kansas. Back at the printing press in Liberal, Lisa Diaz is retired but helps fold the papers by hand a few hours a day for extra money. Diaz and a coworker fold and bundle the papers, idly chatting and listening to the radio. Although their jobs are almost never seen, this human touch is what small-town papers still rely on. Diaz has lived in Liberal most of her life. She says she hopes these newspapers enhance the sense of community in the region.
In all the counties around here, I think they need to stick together and kind of put us on the map.
For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
KCUR's Kansas News Service reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy. Find more at ksnewsservice.org. Over the last two decades, the number of newspapers in the U.S. has dropped by nearly a third. Today, more than 200 counties have no newspaper at all, making them news deserts. The impact is especially strong in rural areas. But Harvest Public Media's Jim Meadows reports newspapers are experimenting with different strategies to keep local news alive.
Mount Vernon, Iowa has the quintessential Midwestern downtown, with a cafe, a bank, and a local newspaper. The office of the Mount Vernon Lisbon Sun faces First Street, the word newspaper written in fancy white letters on the front window. Inside the newspaper office, it's another busy day for editor Nathan Countryman.
Finishing up calendar, finishing up the special section. So I've got two stragglers I've got to track down, which is always fun.
The paper serves two small towns in eastern Iowa, surrounded by farmland. Last February, Countryman learned that his paper was being sold. In an unusual move, the University of Iowa student newspaper, The Daily Iowan, a private nonprofit company, bought The Sun and another rural weekly. The new owners are keeping the staff and providing some student reporters to help out, which is good news for Countryman.
It's a lot more breathing room in those regards. It's an ability to have a Monday where I can say, I just need somebody else to cover the city council meeting.
The Daily Iowan's experiment comes as many newspapers are shrinking, merging, or closing. The local news initiative at Northwestern University has data going back to 2005. Director Tim Franklin says the decline has hit hardest in rural areas in the South, Southeast, and Midwest.
You can almost draw a straight line from the Texas-Mexico border, from, say, Brownsville, Texas, up through the spot, what I call the spine of the country. And with some exceptions, almost all the counties are either news deserts or one news outlet counties.
Franklin says declining readership and ad revenue have hurt newspapers everywhere, but it's harder for papers to stay afloat where fewer people live.
In rural areas, the problem is one of scale. Are there enough paying customers in a smaller rural community to be able to support journalism in that area?
In Ford County, Illinois, population 13,500, the weekly Ford County Chronicle is run on a for-profit basis, although no one's getting rich.
It's hard, but every job's hard, right?
That's Will Brumley, the editor, reporter, and co-publisher of the Chronicle, a rare example today of a new newspaper replacing an old one. He and another former employee of a much older local paper started the Chronicle in 2020. Brumlevy says it's a financial risk, but they're devoted to the community.
There's not that many jobs that like make you feel better about the difference you can make in other people's lives and just try to keep people informed of things they need to know. You know, it's important.
Another publisher is trying to fill a news desert in rural West Texas. John Starkey runs a nonprofit media organization in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Last year, he bought the Ozona Stockman in Crockett County, 300 miles away. He plans to expand the paper to cover seven rural counties, some of which have no news outlets at all.
They have spotty internet, they have spotty radio reception, and they have restricted TV because of the geographic parameters of the area. So if they don't have a newspaper, they don't have news. It's that simple.
New business models for newspapers like the Stockman are key as ad revenues slide. That's according to Benji Hamm. He's director of the University of Kentucky's Institute for Rural Journalism and Community Issues. But he doesn't expect things to change overnight.
There will be more newspapers that go out of business. There will be more online sites that determine they can't make a profit. But I think there will continue to be things that emerge to replace that.
And journalists dedicated to local news. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jim Meadows.
Zachary Oren Smith of Iowa Public Radio contributed to this story. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains based at KCUR. This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. This podcast is produced by David McKeel and KCUR Studios. It's edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. You can read Kalen's and Jim's stories on rural newspapers at kcur.org, where you can find more news from around the Midwest from Kansas City's NPR station. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.